Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's been a great weekend, hasn't it?
Amen.
It's been a blessing. I mean, I was truly blessed. I'm sure as you have all. Want, of course, thank Peter Redmond and his staff for just making it a wonderful weekend here. You know, how blessed we are with the meals, with hospitality. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for all the speakers. I'm sure they're thankful for you having the opportunity to fellowship with y'all. And so it has been truly a wonderful, blessed weekend. You know, as we all like to, as we all understand, I should say, we all have our own plans, but God ultimately has His. Usually I have an early flight, about 4 o'clock. This time I have a 6 o'clock flight. I was told I was going to be the second speaker. I'm going to be now the first speaker. And so let's see if I do the math correctly. You have got you until about 5 o'clock. Ain't it great? And I thought I wasn't going to speak this weekend. So God had better plans, and you'll hear me for the next few hours. I'll keep you awake with this shirt, okay? Okay? It was intentional to keep you awake looking, you know? But we heard a lot of great things this weekend. Wonderful speakers. And so it's important that we pray that we take away that which we're going to assimilate in our hearts, in our inner beings, so that it can bubble. Because after all, that's what God's all about. You know how you feel that bubble in there, and you just can't contain it. And it just pops right out, you know, whoever you come across. You know, and that happens naturally, inspirationally. That's the beauty of God working within us. How's that verse go? God works in you, what? To will and to do of His good pleasure. That's in Philippians, isn't it? Is that my sign? What do I do? I feel like I'm plugged in to the Almighty. You're right. Great. Fantastic. And so God bless you, Stephen. Welcome. You want to switch places now? No. You're on next. Don't worry, Stephen. I'll give you 15 minutes. I'll give you 15 minutes. 15, not 50. But let's pray just in time before we get into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much and for your wonderful works, for the Word, Father, that I'm about to share, Father, that it could be blessed, that it could be received, that it could be understood. Father, that it could just fall into the inner hearts of everyone here. And so we thank you so much that you can help me and guide me, that I may share that rightly divided Word, and that we can all have fun with that. In the wonderful, blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, and we all say, Amen.
Amen.
So, we've all centered on that scripture verse of Philippians 4:13. Let's open there and start with that. Philippians 4:13. Now, I heard this verse before I even knew the mystery. And so I know there was discussion on the purpose of, or the exact interpretation of this verse. And I certainly will share on that as well. And yet, we don't really always understand, you know, how God can take really any scripture and serve His purpose, His ultimate purpose, do we? And so even if it's not, quote-unquote, you know, rightly divided, he'll make it so that we understand it to be ultimately the way it needs to be understood. I heard this verse myself, and clearly I didn't understand it as I do now. But the inflection, I thought, was interesting. The inflection that I received it with. So here it is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now the all is not, as we see many Christendom preach, as we know. We know it has a limited scope, just as Barney shared, within the context, which is important. And we'll talk about that. We've heard many things shared this week that lingered in my mind. We heard of the word content. We heard of the need to be faithful. We heard of sound doctrine. Coming from an odd person. No, just kidding. A unique believer, to say the least. So, let's read this in the context here. We know in verse 8, really, it's finalizing what had been said already. So now we go into 9. Those things you have both learned and received and heard and see in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Read that one more time. Those things, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul speaking, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You get it? Need I explain that anymore? That word do is praso. 4, 2, 3, 8. Interestingly, it means to perform repeatedly or habitually. Think about that. Repeatedly, habitually, do. Repeatedly, habitually, again and again and again. I could relate to that because being a musician, and if anybody knows about, we have a drummer here somewhere, I think, and everybody knows about rudiments, whether it be the scales on a piano or whether it be rudiments in double stroke rows, that will never get perfected until you do habitually. And so what is the Apostle Paul trying to tell us here? Well, I'll read it again. Somebody said here that we need to hear a verse more than once, don't we? Those things which you have both learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, that is what he did, do. And what is the result or outcome of that? Follows. And the God of peace shall be estai. 2071, estai, shall be with you. Absolutely shall be with you. So all you need to do is do, and he will be with you. And his purposes will be accomplished with what you do. In what context, though? That's important. Because we're not talking about positive thinking, are we? Which is how this verse, more often than not, can be used. So, all along we've been talking here about the transitionary, which was spoken about, book of learning about this mystery. And so here he instructs us to do what he has done, what we saw in him do, which was teach and preach. Then he goes on to say, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Learned is that word experience. In other words, that learning by experience. And so, it's important to understand that that's 3:1-9. 3:1-9. Learned. Mantano. It's learning by experience. It's not learning by studying. It's not learning by hearing. It's learning by doing. So only when you do will you experience. Not that I speak in respect of want for, not that I speak in respect of want, for I learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We heard this weekend how he learned. We saw how the afflictions that Paul suffered. That was the experience. That was the learning. And so he had that learning that if you understand yourself when you go through that experience of learning of any kind of affliction related to what? The things of God, the mystery. We begin to understand what that is. And so, let's look at Philippians 4:14. 4:14. Okay, God, I'll back up a minute. 13. Okay. So if I take this out, it'll help it, correct?
We hope.
So, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So, know, of course, where the strength comes from, the enabling power. And the next verse, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Ye did communicate with my affliction. Well, it's interesting because that word communicate, sukonineo, 4790, is to share in company with or co-participate. Again, immediately after saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have well done, the Philippians, that ye did communicate, or sukononeo, 4790, or you did share in company or co-participated with me. In what? With my affliction. Do we see the synergy of the fellowship of the suffering of the affliction? So we welcome such affliction, such pressure, such... Why? As he said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, the God of peace shall be with you. And seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So that we see the correlation. It's important to understand that with the things of God, particularly the mystery, we better expect the obstacles, the pressure that we don't want, that Michael hates. It's important to understand why it comes part and parcel with. You see, and it serves his purpose. The purpose of which we know his eternal purpose. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. So we're going to go from 3, jump to 6, and continue. How, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. And we're going to skip because he's going to get into a side thought or digress into the mystery of Christ. From 3, jumps to 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. 8, unto me who am least and the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, untraceable, as we heard, riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God. We're either going to believe that or we're not. And many in Christendom do not. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. And here it comes, 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, the multifaceted, the full spectrum. Get it? Full spectrum. Full spectrum? Full spectrum! All colors. Full spectrum. I had to borrow Maria's socks to make my point. Nice. 11. According to the eternal purpose. So what's the purpose? Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's the eternal purpose. 10. To the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. Might be known. Known what? The manifold wisdom of God. Wow. Deep. Enough to dwell on that. Watch this now. What was he been talking about all along? Verse 9. It's to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery, right? Isn't that the subject here so far? About the mystery, right? Watch this. As I read. So follow along. We got it, the eternal purpose. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now why would I need boldness? Why would I need boldness? If I've got God, why would I need boldness? If we're going to preach the things of God and the mystery, we better have boldness and access. in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And look at this again now, verse 13. Wherefore, because everything I've just said, because of everything I've just finished saying, from verse 1, for this cause, right up until this point, wherefore, I desire that ye faint not. Why would I faint? Why would they faint? At my tribulation. So he had tribulation. Immediately after having talked about what? The mystery. So now can we understand, better understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? So that in the practical realm, you're talking to someone and you say, do you know the mystery? And they're a believer. You believe in that thing? You don't? And you have fun with it. Why? Because we're plugged in and we have that boldness and access with God. That's just an example. Hypothetical. Not to be taken out of context and hammer everybody out there with that, okay? In a loving way. And you could do anything with that. Any way you go. You just got to let God be. And then you do. In every circumstance, wherever you're at, you're constantly thinking of the opportunities for God, not for yourself, for God. Not because you want the glory. Not because you know the outcome and how it's going to turn out. I mean, I just finished some time ago purchasing I don't know how much, many materials, and I gave them out. And I had an interesting conversation with Maria, my wife. I said, so you haven't heard anything from this guy? No. After all the material I gave you that you give him? No. You mean all those stuff that I gave him? No. I said, you know, God has his own purpose. Yeah, I know. But it's been 3 weeks. And so, you see, the human element, right? Isn't that the human element? What took me years and years and years, I'm imposing on someone to get it right away in 2 or 3 weeks. Isn't that something? The audacity. And it's about God. You see? And what if this person never even touched it already? What if? What if someone else saw that? Then what? Could be, right? So, we don't get caught up in the details of the who, what, why, when. Instead, we focus or strive to focus on the two-letter English word, do. Just do. Forget about the outcome. Maria, follow up on with next week. Follow up with that guy. But we see here, 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. But it requires, the doing requires that faithfulness. Now, faithfulness comes in many ways, shapes, and forms, right? So I'm not going to box that in and now tell you go into that store and load up. That's not what I'm saying either. It comes in different ways, shapes, and forms. God bless George Feldman for his faithfulness to those illustrations. How deep they were in my heart. See? Bob, what was his name again with the tapes? Where we got his tapes? I forgot his name.
George Feldman.
The tapes? Gerald Miller. God bless Gerald Miller. Why? Because the effort behind those, that faithfulness to guard those tapes, you and I will not understand now. 100, 200 years from now, those teachings will be alive, won't they? And someone else will receive it because of one man's faithfulness. And so, whatever that endeavor is that God charges us to be faithful in, within the ministry of that word, as it relates to the mystery, it requires faithfulness. And we see that, and we've heard it throughout this weekend. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4:2. How much time do I have? Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:2. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards, that a man be found faithful in the things that we know will result in seeing that all men be enlightened, seeing that all are enlightened. You better believe it. We're charged with a heavy, heavy responsibility. It's real. And so, you know, to guard it doesn't mean to... I don't want anybody to know about it. To guard it means to make sure that, yes, it's not hidden, and to share it. To guard it means, yeah, not to allow it to be watered down in any way, shape, or form either. Because that's who God is. See, God, when we talk about God, we all have this same conversation among ourselves. How can he not see it? How can she not see it? I don't understand it. He didn't get it. God knows. And he requires faithfulness. And a little faithfulness, as we know and we read, goes a long way with him opening up those doors of understanding in his realm. And so, given such faithfulness comes the responsibility and the knowledge that he will impart. Look at Ephesians chapter 1:1. It reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the unfaithful in Christ. No, they were believers. To the faithful. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, and so make known to you all things. You see the association? It's pretty clear. Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints And to the unfaithful brethren, to the faithful brethren, verse 7, as you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you an unfaithful minister of Christ? No. A faithful minister of Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall, Tychicus, declare unto you who is a beloved brother and the faithful minister, in case we didn't get it, and fellow servant in the Lord. Verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This one's interesting, because we talked about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who enables me. Is that right? Who enables me? I just found it interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me what? Unfaithful? No, faithful. Putting me into the ministry. That was the result, the outcome of his faithfulness. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, chapter 2, let's start with verse 1. We've heard it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things, would we like to know what the things are? Or do we suppose what that may be? And the things that thou hast heard of me, can we guess what they heard of him? Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to unfaithful men, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The axiom is that if it is to be known, if that ministry of the ministry is to be revealed and made known, God can only work through human instruments to the extent that we're faithful in that area. And whatever shape that may take, and whatever responsibility that may be, let's not box us into, oh, you mean that means I have to knock on doors, I have to stand on the corner where the sign says, do you know the mystery? No. I think God expects more of us. And we all know intuitively where we can be of most effect in our own individual lives. Amen? But it doesn't come without a sacrifice, does it? Because we should expect ridicule. We should expect questions. We should expect to be isolated. Isn't it interesting that knowing the mystery makes us feel, let's not go by feelings, isolated, alone from what? from the rest who do not understand. But how different is that with any other man of God in the Bible? Were they not isolated? Can we number who they were? Was Abraham, did he feel isolated? Did he not leave his country isolated, looking for that better city? And so many, many men of God, not just Paul, in the Old Testament, it's the same. And they suffered affliction. Joseph did too, didn't he? And so that's the reason why, after having said what he just said, in number two, the things that thou hast heard of among many witnesses, what could they have possibly have heard? What was he teaching? You see, we know that it was that gospel that was committed unto him and unto him only, that it was by revelation, that it was hid from the beginning of the world. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, so he had witnesses, the same, not something else, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And thou, therefore, here it goes, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Expect it. Endure it. So, when it doesn't feel like you're in it with others, give it up to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, who enables me. Amen? Even if you don't get an answer back in 3 weeks. So let's look about that affliction in Philippians 4:14. It's that word, Philippus 2:3-4:7. That's Philippians 4:14. 4:14, after having said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did co-participate, right, sukononeo, with my party, with my joy, with my affliction. That's Philippus. Philippus. I said that wrong. T-H-L-I. I'll repeat that again. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. That's the Greek word 2:3-4:7. Translated, or the meaning, tribulations, trouble, pressure. And so, we see in Acts, see if I have a verse that I may have misplaced, let's see if I find it. Acts chapter 7, and verse 10. Now when Paul talks about affliction, it's the same word he uses here, no different. But look who he uses as an example for us to look to. So it's the same word. Philippians 2:3-7 and Acts chapter 7, verse 10. So it's talking about Joseph, verse 9. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of some his afflictions, or out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. So the importance of that is that while we're going through such quote-unquote turmoil, whatever form that may take, and it takes various forms, does it matter what form it is? It could be financial. I don't know. It could be isolation. I don't know. It could be ridicule. Affliction, there's no specific nature to this that he describes, does he? He's not going to say you're losing your house. He doesn't say you're going to lose your job. But the point is that it's meant, and here's the point, it's meant to distract you. Would you say any affliction is meant to distract you from your ultimate purpose in God? And if you're distracted, how much less of the things of God can you do? A lot less. And here's the point. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For what purpose? For your purpose? No. For his purpose. So you can accomplish his ultimate purpose. It's not so that you can feel more comfortable. Paul certainly didn't think or teach that. It was ultimately to move forward God's purpose. And so as we endure those afflictions, put it into perspective that it has a higher purpose. Your purpose is a higher purpose. The affliction is meant to distract you in any way it can from what God would have you to do. Because if you get distracted, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? You get discouraged and then you don't, what? Do! But in spite of any such affliction, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You follow Paul's advice. All those things that you heard him say, that you've learned, that you've received, do, in spite of. So we don't cause or allow such afflictions to distract us from the purpose that we have at hand, because we want to be counted to be faithful men. Teach others that they may teach others, that they may teach others, that they may teach others. Not looking at the details, the results of the who, what, why, and where, and how come you didn't get a response in 3 weeks. Those are details. Don't get hung up on the details. You see? You get hung up on the purpose. So if the purpose is bigger than you and I, then don't ask the small, minute details that does not matter. Who cares? Just do. And so it's with that that we endeavor to do what God asks us to do. And the world is not going to ever, we know, accept that. I mean, let's face it. What did Paul say? Everyone left them, didn't they? So, if it happened with the very man that made known by revelation, if it happened with him, and he felt everybody deserted him, Why should we feel any different? Why should we be any better and expect different results? Why? We must be doing something right. So we stay focused. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are the all things that the Apostle Paul shared about. Praise God. Are we blessed? Great. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word. We thank you, Father, for the edification. We thank you, Father, that you can enlighten us and continue to guide us and strengthen us within. Thank you so much that your word does that, that it just keeps alive, maintains our very livelihood, Father, that we just continually dwell on you and all your things and the beautiful things that you just have for us. And we thank you so much that we can indeed endure the afflictions and for your purpose. And so we thank you for all this. In the blessed name of your Son, Christ Jesus, amen.